Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Faith Community Church, and thank you for having me back. This is my second time here. I'm here because I'm on the teaching team that Pastor Steve and Michael are on, and I just feel beyond honored to be here. And while I'm speaking, I'll probably talk about my job. And when I talk about my job, I'm a social worker who is a mental health and addiction therapist. And so, I don't know, that will help when I refer to my job, kind of give you a little bit of insight. And I get to have the privilege of meeting with people at Cornerstone's campus, at their 84th Street campus, so it's a pretty cool, fairly unique situation. So let's begin with an opening prayer. Lord, please let my words be your words, and open our hearts and minds to hear and to learn more about you today. In your son's name we pray, amen. So if you have been with us, or if you're a guest, we are in a series of messages called Rewired. We're spending a few weeks listening to and learning about a few topics, and so far we've talked about people problems, which focused on gossip, right? We've talked about money problems, which encouraged us to be more generous, more giving with money, time, and all things. And last week we talked about giant problems, reminding us that we have a giant God that can take out all the giants for us. And today, it's fitting that a therapist would be here. We're going to talk about painful problems. So anybody here hurting, maybe a little battered or bruised? Sometimes we feel like we're gasping for air. Sometimes life just feels heavy. None of us make through this life unscathed. We're all going to have problems. And recently someone shared this with me, that they were really struggling with faith. And it said, it's not God that I struggle with. I get God. But I can't accept the world he made. This world has problems. We all have problems. And this sentiment is shared by many people today. But today we're going to look at Peter. He was one of the original 12 disciples. And he wrote a letter that is at the tail end of the New Testament called 1 Peter. And the letter is known as being written by the suffering servant. And as I was reading through 1 Peter this week and studying, I just remembered how the young Christians, it was illegal to be a Christian, so the young criminal Christians, right, were so impatient. Man, it had been decades since Christ ascended. It's been a couple millennia now, right? Like, we get so impatient, but God always has a plan. So I bet they had no idea that 2,000 years later we'd be talking about them. So in Peter's letter, he's brutally honest about how hard it is to live as a human. And he puts the suffering, the pain, into five different categories. The first category is tough circumstances. And I know that we all have tough circumstances, and one potential tough circumstances could be today being Mother's Day, right? As Michael mentioned, it's a wonderful day to celebrate women, and yet many have lost mothers, many have lost babies, many have had miscarriages. I mean, this is a very painful time, missed adoptions. So it's joyful and it's sad. So this today could even just be a tough circumstance. But let's look at Peter and see what he says about tough circumstances. He says in 1 Peter 1:6, "For in a little while you will have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." He points it out, right? We don't get through it free. Did you see that? All kinds of trials, like broken relationships, your medical concerns, maybe a family member's medical concerns, financial problems, setbacks at work, family members who aren't as close to God, addiction, mental illness, they all cause us to feel vulnerable. The next type of pain is being treated unjustly. In my job and in life, I've heard many kids say, "That isn't fair." My son has never said that. He doesn't mind if I do that, I've asked him. But many parents will respond, "Life's not fair, get used to it," right? Some of us were raised in an environment where parents over-rewarded us and made everything fair, right? Everything's fair, everything's equal. If you had a bad day, your parents would give you a day off from school. And when we grow up in the real world, we learned it's not always fair. We even suffered because we didn't understand that life wasn't always fair. And as Peter says, sometimes we just don't get what we deserved. He says in 1 Peter 2:8, "In reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your leaders, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh and cause you to suffer unjustly." That's hard stuff. It's easy to follow the leaders that cheer you on and encourage you, but sometimes we have leaders that aren't able, don't know how, and we're still called to follow them. Some of you might have a work environment where you don't get credit for the work you've done. You've earned a raise or a bonus, you don't get it, but the brown noser down the hall, he gets it, right? But remember, Peter lived at a time where it was illegal, against the law, to be a Christian. And he just said, "Hey, life isn't fair." And sometimes we suffer unjustly. The third and fourth type of pain, we're going to lump them together because they're kind of similar. And the third is being slandered when people lie about you. Oh, that really hurts, right? When someone comes up and says, "Kathy wore black today, why would she wear black on Mother's Day?" Right? I don't know. Or being persecuted for following Christ, when people cut you out of the group because you follow Christ. Peter makes it clear that sometimes in this world you'll do all the right things and still get accused and abused by people. Some people speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ. He uses words like fiery ordeal and insulted because of the name of Christ. Peter admitted that there will simply be times when we will have trouble because of being a Jesus follower. We can't expect to make godly decisions without feeling some persecution, some judgment. Being a Christian is like going on a canoe trip, right? Everyone else is going down the river peacefully, but as a Christian, we're going upstream, and we're bouncing into people, and they kind of look back at us like, "You're kind of weird." Because we are. We're different. We're called to be different. And that's actually how we know that we're Christian, because we are set apart, we're holy, we're different. The fifth type of pain is a spiritual attack. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Believers all around the world are going through this kind of suffering. Ugh, your enemy prowls around like a lion looking to devour you. Ugh, that's not encouraging. He's a real enemy, and we so often think our fights are with each other. But our battle is not against flesh and blood, it says in Ephesians 6, but against the principalities and forces of darkness. Some of our fights, our battles, our struggles are just because there's evil in the world. And as we look at this list of five problems, Peter calls this out. His writing is frankly, a living billboard, we will have troubles. But he knows that Jesus overcame the world, and so our pain and suffering, it's not the end. It's something to defeat. In fact, this is how he seems to write in our response to these trials. The song we sang two songs ago, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, one of the best lines from that song is, look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Many times each week in my work, as people are sharing their hearts and souls with me, it's a huge honor, I run those words through my mind. Our problems look so different when we look at them through the light of his glory and grace. Peter shows us a promise from the Lord. He's helping us to rewire how we see our problems, right? Our problems with our bosses, our medical problems. He's helping us to rewire and to see them through a different lens. So now I'm going to go back through the five types of pain, but I'm going to also give you a promise that Peter gives us in the Bible. So the first problem is tough circumstances. And in this, God promises that he will reveal your faith in a tough circumstance. What do we mean by this? It's how we respond during times of pain and suffering that reveals where our faith lies. Where do we run when we feel in pain? To God? Or do we start using our holy finger and pointing at others around us? We really don't know what's in us until we get squeezed. You know, if you think back about the troubles we've had in our past, it's what has helped to reveal our faith, to build our faith. And it gets revealed. And Peter says it, that these sufferings have come so that they will prove the genuineness of your faith, of great worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's so such a beautiful promise and so hard to get through, so painful. When we don't let our circumstances crush our spirits, we prove to ourselves and to the Lord that we have faith that he can bring all things to good so that for those who love him. Pain, suffering, and death are always going to surround us, always. If we have a God who is active and real, and when we focus on him, our faith is found to be authentic and real. It's firm and will be a solid foundation to help us weather any storm. I want to show you an example of this through a young man from Cornerstone Church who's had some really tough experiences. The young man's name is Kyle.
My name is Kyle.
I'm Ed Behe, and my wife, Linda.
And this is my story.
Kyle was born with Down syndrome, where you are born with an extra chromosome.
We knew before he was born that he was going to have it. We started out with physical therapy and occupational therapy when he was 2 months old.
When he was in Sunday school, teacher asked, can anybody rattle off the books of the Bible? And there was one student that could do it in order. All 66 books, and that was Kyle.
One thing that Kyle did all through school is he would always carry his Bibles wherever he went, and he was in a public school. I cannot tell you how many people would come up to him and just ask him about the Bible. That was a real inspiration for me. It's something you've done all your life. He does have a heart for God. He, you know, he watches like three different sermons like on Sunday.
I can explain it to them, Mom. because the way that I follow Jesus is kind of like I go to God in really worship. I go to God in prayer, sometimes it's through the Bible as well. I find God in all the different aspects.
We all have struggles or challenges, and you know, somebody with Down syndrome, theirs is visible. They go through the same feelings, struggles that somebody without disability or challenge goes through too. 80% of kids with Down syndrome cannot ride a bike. It took probably 3 years, and then now he just gets on it and goes like you or I would. I think a lot of things with Kyle is acceptance.
If you know somebody with a disability, spend some time with them. That's all they want. A lot of them are lonely. They have a lot of acquaintances, but they don't have friends. You have to see what their disability is and what they're capable of. That not only benefits the person with a disability, it will benefit the other person as well.
I feel a bit lonely. A lot of my friends are married, engaged, and are in romantic relationships. I would like to be in that same boat as well. There are a lot of times I feel confident, but when I'm not and I'm struggling, I go to God right away.
You know, I want to... I want to make it better. It's really not in our hands. You pray about it, and God will... He's the one who takes the reins.
I want others to know about me, and that if they ever want to talk to me or whatever reason, I feel like I'm open to that.
You quite often do life verses. You will have many mm-hmm. people that will always ask you, what's my verse of the day? People that want it, he has a verse for them. Mm-hmm.
Then they'll take a minute and just kind of mm-hmm. talk about what does that mean, Kyle's impression of what that mm-hmm. verse or why he read that verse. He'll explain it.
My favorite verse is the one about being content in Philippians. I'm really content in being content in all circumstances, no matter what it's I'm going through. I am a child of God, and I still am. Whenever I face challenges, God always helps me navigate a lot of ways and that I don't really expect.
If you've got a faith and you believe in God, you know he's going to walk through that with you. And some days are good, some days not so good.
My passion is to work with young adults with challenges that would like to be able to live on their own.
We're super proud of everything he does. He gives it his all.
Kyle's my hero because of everything that he's accomplished and he's doing. Kyle is doing this, and I'm thinking, wow, I ought to be striving for more just because I should be. He's my little buddy.
That was a tough circumstance. When I think of that, I think of his parents. When they received that diagnosis, you know, their little boy is in utero and they learn that their little boy is going to have Down syndrome. At that moment, God started rewiring, right? Rewiring how they see their future. And I mean, you can tell that that young man is loved, not just by God, but by his family as well. So now, switching to the second problem, being treated unjustly. What promise is linked with that? God promises to make things right. The world isn't fair, it's messed up, but what this promise is saying is that God is going to make things right in the end. When Jesus was abused, he didn't return the abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Did you see that? God is just. God is pleased when you let him retaliate, not Kathy, no, him. And given we give up the right for revenge when we forgive. It's saying, I have a choice when I'm hurt to use my energy fighting back and retaliating, or I can rest in the Lord's judgment. Let him take it. Think about that when we spend our emotions trying to retaliate. It only hurts us. When I think about forgiveness and about pain, I always want to make sure and cover that sometimes people are in relationships where they're being physically harmed and their lives are in danger, and if that's the case, safety is job one. So forgiveness can come after safety. The third and fourth problems are being slandered and being persecuted. And Peter tells us that God will protect our reputations. Just keep doing what's right, and God has our back. God will lift us up. I've heard many variations of the story, and I have to steal someone else's story instead of what I hear in my job, because what I hear in my job is locked space. So I'm going to steal someone else's story about a young man who grew up with alcoholic parents. When the young guy got home, he didn't know if he would be hugged or slugged. He worked so hard to do the right thing all the time. And during that time, he was so hurting, he ran to church. His parents didn't go to church, but he did. And the young person started praying for his parents and learning how to forgive them and to show them respect, even though they didn't deserve it. Over time, the young person saw his parents come to Christ because he was loyal and faithful, and the way he showed himself helped his parents to find and develop a relationship with God. That story is a great example of these verses. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. These verses are saying that people are watching us, not in the like mean way, but like they want to see how we respond. And when Christ was on the cross, he didn't retaliate. He just simply said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The final promise is I will give you favor. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. When I hear stories about Christians being persecuted all over the world, there's one thing I hear in common. They have a glimpse, they have a connectedness with God that is just beautiful. And so if you and I go through life and we get persecuted for believing in God, maybe someone calls you a Jesus freak, it's still lonely, right? When we don't fit into the group because we are set apart. Don't focus on the hurt or bitterness that can form. Simply claim this verse and receive God's Spirit resting on you. The last problem is spiritual attack. And this promise is, I will sustain you. Resist the devil, standing firm in faith. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This verse reminds me of a quote by Simone Veil, who lived through the Holocaust. Oh, what a painful time. The quote is, "The extreme greatness of Christianity lies in the fact that it doesn't seek a supernatural remedy for suffering, but instead it seeks a supernatural use for it. The Lord himself will restore you, will make you strong and firm." Did you hear that? The Lord will restore us. Years ago, as I was, honestly, in my 20s, I was a pretty angry, mean, bitter woman. I wasn't much fun to be around. I don't know how my husband stayed married to me. I was pretty angry. And I was so angry that I reached out to a therapist. Ugh, The therapist was a Christian therapist. He taught me more about walking with and loving the Lord. I wouldn't be the person I am today without him. And God used him to help me to resist the devil and to grow more into the person that he created me to be. Have I arrived? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. But painful problems are real and impact us all. I hope that these 5 points give us all a little bit to think about. No matter your situation, no matter the cause, what causes your heart to be heavy, you are able to realize the sheer passion the Lord has to keep you from being held hostage by those death-producing emotions. Because, as you can see, we serve a God who will always redeem the darkest of situations. Some of you have worked through dark situations, walked through dark situations in the past year, and my prayer is that the Lord has spoken to you today and has given you hope to carry on. As our musicians rejoin the stage, we're going to reflect on the 5 promises. So when we're in tough situations, God promises to reveal our faith. When we're treated unjustly, God will make things right. When someone lies to us, He will protect our reputation. When you're persecuted for following Him, He will give you favor. When you're spiritually attacked, He will sustain you. While we're listening to the last song, consider your trust in Him and how these promises remind us to keep a firm grip on faith and that suffering will not last forever. And let us close in prayer real quick before they take over. Lord, thank you for this time together, and be with us as we sing this final song, reminding us that you are the good news, Lord. The good news is that you are you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.